Good morning. I hear a lot of talking about the Braves and the Bulldogs, and I kind of hate to interrupt it, but it is time to start. So. All right. Well, obviously, I'm not Todd Guthrie. I'm Scott Rouse, for those of you who have not met me. And we will be not continuing in... Yes, I'm here. We won't be continuing in Mark today. We'll be doing a separate little one-week study of my choosing. So I have chosen. We're going to be looking at typology and what is typology. And I'm going to try and cover as much as I can in 1 week and not go over time and get done what I can get done. And I don't have any handouts or any slides or anything, so if you want to remember it, you'll have to take notes on your own. So that's how we're doing this. But I want to go through what is typology, kind of look at a few questions, what it is, how we're going to study it, look at what are the doctrines that support typology, what is the foundation of typology in Scripture, and just what is its purpose? What is its purpose in our lives? So before we begin, I want to mention that a lot of this is drawn heavily from a very influential person in my life, Mitchell Chase. He wrote this book, 40 Questions About Typology and Allegory. If you have not read it, I highly recommend that you do. I don't think we have any in the library. I can see about changing that because it is a very good book. Mitchell Chase was mine and Dalton's pastor in Louisville, Kentucky. He's a professor at Southern and at Boyce, so he taught me through the Word, preaching of the Word on Sunday mornings. He taught me in class, an Old Testament survey, 1 and 2, and he's been a mentor and a shepherd to me through my college years. So a lot of this is founded on his book and on what he's written. He has a very, very useful and helpful, very readable style by which I'm basing a lot of this off of. Now, obviously, this is all based off of Scripture and not Mitch Chase, but just so you know, a lot of these points, a lot of these things I've developed from him, and if you want to study it further, this book, please go and check it out. Mitchell Chase, 40 Questions on Typology and Allegory. So before we begin, I want to just open in prayer, pray for our time, pray that we would understand what God's Word has for us. We're not going through expositionally of a passage, but we are going through topically what is typology. But nevertheless, we still want God's help in understanding what He has for us in His Word. So let's pray. Father, thank You for blessing us with yet another day, with a good, a cold but another wonderful day that You have given us. I pray, Father, that You would help us to know Your truth, to know Your Word, to know that You are God, and that You have revealed Yourself to us in the Old and New Testaments, and in Your creation, and in all these ways You have exalted and magnified the name of Jesus Christ. And I pray that today, as we study what typology is, as we look at what are types of Christ, that You would exalt Christ in our own hearts, that You would exalt Him in our own minds. I pray You would help me to speak well, to have the right words to say, to know how to say it, and that what I teach would be useful for us to grow in godliness. I thank You for all of these things. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so what is typology? That's the question, and that's the first question. And I realized on the way over, Mitch's book is 40 Questions About Typology and Allegory, and my 4 points are all questions, so I guess you could say it's 4 questions about just typology. I didn't mean to do that, but I did, so there's another way I'm copying him. But the first thing I want to look at is, what is typology? I'm not going to assume that all of you have heard it and studied it, but I also know that if you've been in this church for any amount of time and heard Pastor Ty's preaching, you've heard typology, you've heard of what it is. And you've seen Pastor Ty exposit from the Old Testament what are types and pictures of Christ Jesus. So a very useful definition, typology is the study of types. All right, question 2. No, I'm just kidding. That's too vague. So the study of types in the Old Testament and how they point forward to Christ in the New Testament. So then our next question really needs to be, what is a type? What is a type? The word type is used in the New Testament. Typos is the Greek word. It's used 15 times in the New Testament. And it's referring to things that are shadows that are pointing forward towards an antitype. The antitype being the fulfillment of that. So a type is a person, it's an object, it's an event that looks forward to and anticipates the coming of a fulfilling antitype. So it is looking ahead, it is something that is a picture, a shadow, an image of that which is greater that is to come. For a more biblical definition, I will read from this book, which I mentioned at the beginning if you just came in, 40 Questions on Typology and Allegory. Mitch Chase writes that a biblical type is a person, office, place, institution, event, or thing in salvation history that anticipates, shares correspondences with, escalates toward, and resolves in its antitype. So it can be a whole lot of different things which look forward to an antitype, which is in general going to be Jesus Christ, and in all things going to lead to Christ directly or indirectly. So a type, it's a shadow, it's a copy. The word type, I mean, you know, type, it's the same kind of thing. This is a type of that. It's the same sort of cut, the same sort of mold. And that's what a type is. It's a shadow, a fuzzy image of something else. It is akin to the thing which it typifies. So it corresponds to what it is typifying. It corresponds to what it is trying to demonstrate. And the New Testament uses the word true a lot. It says that this old thing has now become the true thing in Christ. Christ is the true vine, right? The church is the true Israel. If you think of a type as being that which foreshadows the ultimate fulfillment, the true thing that is going to come into the world. Types are based in reality. They're based in history. And they're based in the history of the Old Testament. So a type is not a literary feature by which an author makes up something that sounds a lot like, oh, this is like Jesus later on. It's not some sort of metaphor or simile that you write about it and say, Jesus is like, etc. No, this is something, a person, an event, a place that it in itself and its physical history represents and foreshadows Jesus Christ and his work on the cross. So a type is not something man-made, but it is God-made. And a type has to have correspondence to the thing which it typifies. There's a sense of heightening and escalation towards that thing as well. And it anticipates its fulfillment. So a type has to correspond. It has to relate to the thing which it typifies. There has to be a real clear connection. A type as well has to escalate. So the type, the shadow, is a mere shadow of what is to come. It's not equal to what is to come. It's not a shadow of a shadow. They're not at the same level. There's a heightening and an escalation, which it anticipates, like was also in the definition. It anticipates the coming of the antitype, of the fulfillment of the type, of Jesus Christ. So if you think of what are some examples of types in the Old Testament, we think one very clear one would be to think of a person, David. David is a type of Christ. Now, how is he a type of Christ? Well, he's a real person. David himself was a shepherd. David was anointed. An anointed one, the word in Greek for the anointed one is Christ. David himself was a king, the king of Israel, and he was a man after God's own heart. And if you look at these things, they typify what is to come, the greater David, the son of David, Christ Jesus himself. One who is greater than David is here. So David, his role in just being David, who God designed him to be, was to typify and point forward to Jesus Christ. Now, that's a person. And you want to, if you want to think about an event, we can look in the life of David as well. If you look at David's battle with Goliath, this event that took place in history where David, the Messiah, anointed one, the Messiah king, the shepherd, the man after God's own heart, whose sole purpose and sole desire was to glorify and honor and defend the name of the Lord, enters this scene where Israel is held captive, essentially, by the Philistines. The Philistines are in the land because of Israel's sin and unrepentance, and they are now at a place where they are oppressing Israel, and Israel can do nothing to save themselves. There's Goliath, there's this giant, this awful foe that none of them can face. And who comes in but David, the humble servant leader. And David, because of his zeal for the Lord's name, goes forward into battle and wins the victory for his people. And because of his victory, that victory is imputed to the people, not based on anything that they have done, but based on them following after this man, David. And through that victory that David won, they received the blessings and the riches of victory. And so that act is a type of that greater victory that would come in the Messiah King, the Shepherd, Jesus Christ, who would come and conquer the foe that was unconquerable by any of us, and who would come and who would win victory, and that victory would be imputed to those whom he fought it for. And so that those who trust in him can have eternal life and an everlasting victory. So that event is a type of what was to come through Jesus Christ, through his person. If you think of more types, Adam is a type of Christ. That's seen in the New Testament. Moses is a type of Christ. The Exodus as an event is a type of the true spiritual Exodus. And just as the type of the Exodus is merely physical, the new Exodus is greater because it is spiritual. It is eternal. Israel's Exodus out of Egypt did not leave them as an independent and whole and perfect nation that would last forever. But our exodus from sin into being of God's kingdom and of God's people, that is an exodus that lasts forever. So the type is corresponding to what is to come, but it is lesser than. It's a picture. It's a shadow of the great type, of the great antitype that is to come. If you think as well of an object, the Ark of the Covenant, or you think of the temple and the tabernacle, these were places where God's presence dwelt. These in themselves were types of Christ who is to come. Christ himself tabernacling among us. Himself calling of himself the temple, saying, "In 3 days I will tear down this temple and I will raise it up again." And so Christ is the antitype for the temple as an object. If you think of a system, the sacrificial system, it's a type of that which is to come. It's a type of, it is an imperfect type in which now you have these imperfect people performing imperfect sacrifices that merely cover sins, but they look ahead towards Jesus Christ and his perfect sacrifice that will eternally cover sins. So these are all examples of types, and I could just keep going on and tell you about types. But we want to get further into truly how do you study types. So these types, but again, keep this in mind as we move forward, types are shadows of that which is to come. They correspond to something. They are relating to something, and they are anticipating the great fulfillment. So when we're looking at what are types, you have to keep those in mind. You can't just look at something in the Old Testament and say, like, Pharaoh walked. You know who else walked? Jesus. What a type. That's amazing. Jesus walked in the new... Pharaoh's a type of Christ. Isn't that cool? That doesn't make any sense. Oh, look, Pharaoh, he walked, and so that corresponds to Jesus. No, it doesn't correspond. There's no escalation. There's no heightening. There's no fulfillment. Pharaoh just, he just walked, okay? And Jesus walked as well. There's no anticipation of the great walker. Who's going to be the great walker? Charles Walker. No, not him. We're waiting for another. Herschel Walker. No, not him. We're waiting for... Jesus is the great walker. No, that's not in there. That's not a type. That's just... This thing is like that thing, and that's just how it is. A type really does correspond. It's a real thing that is looking for its ultimate fulfillment. So what are some of the foundational doctrines underlying typology? What are biblical principles that must be in place? The first is God's sovereignty, God's providence. God has so ordained all of history that all that happens in history, all the types that we see are divinely orchestrated and carried out by God himself. God has not just let the world be as it is and seen the similarities and said, oh, look, these connect. Jesus, look at that. He's just like Moses. That's really cool. I didn't even notice that. No, God has so ordained all things that in his sovereignty, he has demonstrated through people what would come in Jesus Christ. You have to believe that God has purposefully inspired all things. You also have to believe that Scripture is inerrant and that it is the inspired and divine Word of God. Because what we read in Scripture, if you don't believe that it is all true, if you believe it is a disconnected group of stories written by people that is full of inconsistency and error, then all of the types are merely, oh, this person wrote about this. Oh, I'm making that connection here. Oh, that's neat. No, the Bible is a unified story of God, and it is inspired by God, and therefore the types in Scripture come from God. They're not written by man. They come from God. Mitch writes in his book that without providence, there is only coincidence. But with God's providence, we see that this is no coincidence, that these types in the Old Testament point forward to Christ in the New. You have to believe that the Bible is a unified story that hinges on and centers on Christ alone. You have to believe that from the Old Testament to the New, everything is pointing towards Jesus Christ. If you don't believe that, typology makes no sense. But every aspect of Scripture is ultimately pointing forward towards Christ Jesus. This truth is God-breathed. It is not man-inspired. It is from God. You have to believe that the Spirit witnesses and testifies about Jesus Christ. And the whole Bible is inspired by God, and therefore the Holy Spirit has inspired the Old Testament writers. And as in doing so, he is testifying about Jesus Christ in the whole Old Testament. And you have to believe Christ's own claims. You have to believe that Christ is divine, that he is the Son of God, and his claims that the Old Testament pointed towards himself are true. Christ claimed again and again that the Old Testament was talking about him. He said, look at these things, look at these, what this is talking about. This is talking about me. And in Luke chapter 24, Christ is on the road to Emmaus. This is after his resurrection. And he walks up and he sees, right? Jesus drew near. He's walking to these people. He kept their eyes from recognizing him. He says, what is this conversation you're holding with each other as you walk? And these people looking sad. You've got Cleopas answering him. He says, are you the only one that doesn't know what's happened here? And he says, what things? And they started talking about Jesus of Nazareth. And they talked about how he has died. And we hoped he was the one to redeem Israel in verse 21. And they say they went to the tomb and they didn't see him there. And in verse 25, Jesus says to them, "O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory?" And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Jesus Christ, according to his own word and his own example, is showing us that the Old Testament points forward to Jesus Christ, the whole Old Testament. It's not just a couple prophecies here and there. The whole Old Testament is looking forward to Jesus Christ. So these are the foundational doctrines you have to hold in order to understand typology, in order to know that it is true. God is sovereign. He has worked out these things in order to show himself. And it is real. It is not man-inspired. It is divinely inspired. So what is the purpose of typology? What is the purpose of all of this? Is it just a cool, you know, party trick? Hey, do you want to know a type in the Old Testament? Let me tell you, I studied this. I know the type. Is that what we use it for? No. This is where the very basic Sunday school answer comes into play. What is the purpose of typology? Jesus. Jesus is the purpose of typology. It is the study of Jesus in the Old Testament. It is the study of Jesus in the whole Scripture. All types point to and are fulfilled in Jesus Christ, whether directly or indirectly. They are either pointing forward towards his person specifically, such as David, typifying the coming Christ, or they point forward to something that has now come about through Jesus Christ. For example, the New Testament says that the flood typifies baptism. Well, baptism is not Christ, but what is baptism if not a public representation of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ and how he has washed our hearts clean from sin? Without Christ, the type means nothing, but it is all focused on the person and work of Jesus Christ. So Christ Jesus is ultimately the focus of typology and the study of these types. Typology magnifies Christ in the Old Testament. It is God revealing himself to us from beginning to end. Typology causes us to worship. It causes us to worship him. It shows us that Christ has always been the focus of God's plan. That the purpose of salvation has always been Jesus Christ has come into the world to save sinners. And he is the only one that can save. It shows God's great unified plan and it deepens our understanding and our love of God and of his word. Beyond that, typology is a tool for us to use. There are some theologians who say that the only types that we should really focus on are the ones that are specifically mentioned in the New Testament. The New Testament does talk about types. It talks about Christ. This was a type of Christ. Adam was a type of Christ. The Exodus is a type of the great Exodus from sin. And some say, okay, if the New Testament says that that is what it is, then that's what we're going with, and we're going to cut off everything else. Now, if you set that boundary, you end up with only biblical types, and that's a good thing. You don't have any unbiblical ways of thinking, unbiblical types, because you've got just the biblical types. But I don't think that that is the way we are to use typology. I don't think it is something where we just have what the New Testament authors have given us, and we just kind of settle for that. I believe the New Testament authors are showing us these types, and they are exemplifying for us how to study our Old Testament, how to read the Old Testament, and how to look for Christ in the Old Testament. Certainly what they have deemed are types, that's a great place to start. If you're reading your Old Testament and you come across something and you think, is this a type? The first place to go is the New Testament. And if they say, this is a type, then surprise, you found a type. That's a type. You can trust the New Testament authors. But they have also demonstrated for us, as Christ did on the road to Emmaus, that you can take the whole Old Testament and you can find how it relates to Christ because it is in there. You're not reading into it and trying to make something say that it's related to Christ. You are examining the Old Testament and seeing how it does point to Christ. So this moves us into how we study. How do we study or use typology? And I believe that Scripture teaches us to study Scripture. The New Testament authors teach us to learn. They teach us truth. They teach us doctrine. They're teaching us specific examples of types. But they're also teaching us how to learn, how to use what they have demonstrated to us and how to carry that on. Just as we need to learn not just the answers in the answer book for our math, we need to learn the foundational principles of math in order to know the answers that are going to be on the test, but also so that we can use it to further develop our understanding of math, of engineering, of all sorts of things. If you only studied the textbook and, you know, what answers you're going to have, you just study facts, you're going to end up with a shallow understanding of any subject, of math, of whatever it is, of science. But if you study these principles and you apply the principles, then you have learned how to learn, and you can now use that to continue and to deepen your knowledge. So typology, when we look at it in the Old Testament, the first thing we need to do is look to Jesus as our example. Jesus Christ, as seen on the road to Emmaus, is our example for how we study the Scriptures. The second thing we need to do is to see and emulate the New Testament writers and how they read their Bibles. The New Testament writers are the greatest expositors of the Old Testament. They are the ones who have studied and known the Old Testament and have now written about it in the New Testament, divinely inspired by God. The New Testament writers know what they're talking about when they write about the Old Testament and when they quote the Old Testament. And we can trust that everything that they have referenced and quoted is true. That the things that they infer from the Old Testament, the types that they see that are fulfilled in Christ, we can trust that that is true. So we need to look to how they read and studied their Bibles. And they read with an eye towards seeing Christ Jesus. And again, remember, they are not looking to add into the Old Testament ways that it might point to Christ. Typology is not about eisegesis and adding our own words into Scripture. Typology is all about exegesis. It is all about diving into the Word of God to see what God has put there for us. And to see Christ Jesus, whom God has put there from beginning to end and has revealed to us. We need to ask ourselves questions when we're examining typology. We need to look at the core pieces of what a type is. So if you're looking in the Old Testament and you see a type, you see the flood. Okay, the flood. Well, that sounds like a type. Wonder if that's a type. The first place to go is the New Testament. Does the New Testament talk about this as a type? And it does. It says that the flood is a type of baptism. There you go. Now you study what the New Testament says about it, and you study the Old Testament passage, and you see how they connect, how it escalates, how the new antitype is the true fulfillment of the type. But say you're studying and you look and you say, okay, Noah's the guy who built the ark. I wonder if he's a type. And you look in your New Testament and you see it doesn't say Noah is a type of Christ. It doesn't mention that anywhere. Okay, so is Noah a type of Christ or not? It doesn't mention it. I guess not. We'll just back off and say no. No, the principle is you need to ask, does this look forward to, correspond to, and anticipate a greater fulfillment? You can also ask the question, does this align with any other types that the Old Testament or that the New Testament identifies as types? Now, the New Testament says that Adam is a type of Christ, that Adam typifies the the one who would to come, the great Adam, the new Adam, the last Adam. Noah in himself is sort of a parallel to Adam. Noah is essentially the next father of mankind because he is the last. He is the one in the ark. And Noah is given a commandment similar to Adam to go and fill the earth and to be fruitful, to tend the earth, to spread out and to fill the earth. And so as a parallel to Adam, we can also then logically assume that Noah is as well a type of Christ. And we can assert that Noah, in what he did in following God, in obeying him, and in the ark, the one sole place of salvation from destruction, that this is also a type of what would come. Again, the flood being a mere physical reality, pointing forward to the great spiritual salvation that would come through Jesus Christ. So we need to ask, is what we're reading considered a type in the New Testament? If not, is what we're reading a parallel to another type that we know is a type? And we can also ask the simple questions about, is this really a type based on our definition of a type? Is this a shadow or a copy of something else? Does it correspond to something greater? Is it anticipating the fulfillment of itself in this greater thing? And is there that escalation of starting from the lesser, going to the greater? A type is just a shadow. It's a real God-inspired divine shadow and picture for us. But it is merely a shadow of that which is to come. If you think about it as a child's drawing, and I hate to say, you know, the Word of God is not a scribble on a piece of paper. But if you think a child hands you a drawing and you look at it and you go, okay, I see some shapes and I see some colors, and that's wonderful. What is it? And the child says, duh, it's a giraffe on the Eiffel Tower wearing a hat. Don't you see it? Oh, yeah, okay, that's really cool. Well, the picture doesn't really clearly show a giraffe on the Eiffel Tower wearing a hat, okay? But you can see these, you know, there's this faint, oh, yeah, once they tell you what it is, okay, I can see that now. Sometimes our understanding of the Word of God is that fuzzy sort of, you see it and you go, I don't know what this is. But through God's divine revelation to us, we can understand, okay, this is a fuzzy picture of that which is to come. And the reason the picture is fuzzy is not because God is imperfectly drawing the picture. The reason is he is using people and events that are imperfect shadows of the perfect that is to come. So David being a type of Christ is a fuzzy picture because David was a sinful man. The types are never exactly the same, right? There's that escalation. It's always imperfect. This is when you say, you know, what is it? Every metaphor breaks down eventually. You say something is like something else. Well, it's not always going to be exactly like that other thing. It's going to break down somewhere. The same goes true for types, because a type is not going to be exactly like the thing it typifies. So if you see Adam as a type of Christ, he is a type of Christ. Because in Adam all die, and in Christ all live. But Adam is a type, even though he is a sinner. He is the one who willingly sinned against the Father. And Christ is not one who ever sinned, who only did the will of the Father. So Adam is a type, but he is not exactly one-to-one. So the picture can be fuzzy because we're seeing a sinful person. We're seeing a sinful man that typifies the perfect Savior. So when we're looking at types, it can be difficult. It can be hard. But we need to see, does this correspond? Does this relate to that which is to come? Does this relate to the great coming of Jesus Christ and his salvation and deliverance? Does this fit the New Testament author's pattern as they've shown us how to write, as they've shown us how to read our New Testament, rather, are we following their pattern of reading the Old Testament with an eye on Jesus Christ? Now, there are a lot of ways to do typology wrong. Like we talked about earlier, if you just say, oh, this guy walked, that guy also walked, it's a type, you're not doing it right. And people can come up with all sorts of types. And they try to be clever and they try to say, here we go, we've got this thing here, and if you look at it kind of this way, this random character doing this random thing is kind of related to this over here, where Christ is the type of Christ. And some of them are absolutely insane, and they don't have anything to do with truly who Christ is. Because those things in the Old Testament, some of them are obscure, but they truly do point to Christ, and that is God's design, not man's. So if you think about some of the more obscure ones, think about Melchizedek. You wonder, okay, he's like mentioned twice in the Old Testament, and he's just there. Who is he? What does he do? He's very, very limited knowledge about him. He's very fuzzy. Don't really know much about him at all. But later on, it's revealed Christ is a priest of the line of Melchizedek. Melchizedek was a priest king. He was a type of the Christ who was to come. Or you think about, okay, how about a rock in the wilderness? All right, that's a stretch. A rock in the wilderness? I don't know about that. Well, the New Testament says Christ was the rock in the wilderness that was with the people, providing them water. How about just, you know, the manna? I don't know. That's kind of a stretch. It's pretty obscure. I don't know. That doesn't seem to fit. Okay, well, the New Testament authors say Christ is the bread of life. He is the true manna. God fed them with manna in the wilderness, and now he is feeding them with the everlasting and eternal bread of life. So when looking at types, you have to be careful, because some of them they really are obscure, and you really are wrong for assuming that that's a type. And people try to be very clever, and they try to say, you know, this is a type, that's a type, that's a type. But you need to be very careful. Does it correspond to Christ in his coming? Does it relate to that? Does it escalate, and is it fulfilled in that? Is Christ the fulfillment of that type? So this is just a very basic overview. I wish I could talk about this more. I wish I were smart enough to talk about this more. But typology truly is a tool that we are to use. So as you read your Old Testament, as you read through the scriptures, know that typology really is a tool for us to better and more clearly understand Christ Jesus. The New Testament authors have given us this example of how to read our Old Testament. We've seen from Jesus Christ himself that the whole Old Testament points forward to him. We know that the types, the shadows of Christ, they are real events in history, sovereignly ordained by God, and they truly point us ahead to Christ Jesus himself. The Old Testament is fully and completely fulfilled in Christ, and therefore, when we read the Old Testament, we need to read with that in mind. Christ Jesus is truly the whole purpose of typology, because Christ Jesus is the whole purpose of the Bible and of the whole Old Testament. God's plan of salvation through the man Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is the purpose of Scripture. As we read, we need to keep that in mind. Let's pray. God, we thank you for providing us with your word, with providing us with your truth. I thank you for teaching us through what you have written that Jesus Christ is the pinnacle of all history, that he is the one, the only, by whom we can be saved. I thank you for providing for us types and shadows. You are good to provide them to your people, the Israelites, very few of whom could see what they were typifying. But you have shown us that these things speak to Christ. They talk about Jesus himself. I thank you for demonstrating that to us, for showing us Jesus in all things and in all of Scripture. I pray that as we go about our weeks, that we would continue to read the Word of God with that in mind, to know that Leviticus and 2 Chronicles and Ezra are not merely there just to be there, but they are there to point to and exemplify and exalt Jesus Christ. I thank you for revealing your Son to us and revealing your Word to us in the gospel, that we are saved through none other but Jesus Christ, the Son of God. I pray that you would help us to meditate on that this week, that we would live that out in our lives, and that we would exalt you in all that we do. Give us a Christ-honoring and exalting mind when we read the Word and when we speak the Word to one another. I pray that you would bless us this week, bless the preaching of the Word from Pastor Ty, as we're about to hear, and I pray that you would continually remind us of who you are and your great works for us. I thank you for all of this. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.